expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, turkey eating sovereign minds.
Ooh, gobble, 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 gobble.
Okay.
Or should I say, we've got the soy boy birds out there too, I guess. So now you have the choice according to the Fed. You can decide whether you want to eat a soy turkey because it's cheaper and has more protein than a good turkey because we need to cut back. This is America. America.
I think I just decided.
Did you?
Doesn't
turkey have more protein than, like, vegetables?
Typically.
It depends on the vegetables.
Well, tofu doesn't have that much protein, does it?
No, but your broccoli and stuff has much more protein than meat.
I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with a studio full of guys who want to talk.
Good morning, sovereign mind.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, there's more than one person.
I'm here with, exactly. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And the kid that rocks around the clock faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download with a 10th degree in black belt, Ram Cyber Dave Johnson.
Guess who's back? Back again.
He's back.
And the keyboard weaponry specialist and producer extraordinaire, Travis.
Good morning.
It sounds like we're in an MMA or a... Don, who's the guy that used to do the announcement? I think it was
McMahon.
No, the guy for the boxing. It wasn't his name.
McMahon
Don
was WWF.
Yeah.
He's like, McMahon is WWF. McMahon's WWF, I think.
No. I'm talking about boxing. You guys are like, you know, I'm talking about ancient history, not recent history.
Nobody watches boxing anymore.
I know. I do. It only comes on once in a while.
Boxing or WWE, the introductions all go the same. And we have another guy in tights.
What you don't understand is they all started with the one guy who would do this big long.
He still does it. He's dead.
No, his son does it now. Anyway, we'll come up with a name or not. Who cares? And so we also have a special guest.
We can always Google it. Gosh. You'll have laptops in front of you.
I hope. I was going to talk about something else, but well, let's talk about our guests right now. We've got a guest in the studio, Chris Kellstrom, who's running for District 2.
District 5.
District 5?
Yeah.
I guess I've been so concentrating on District 2.
Back to the corner you go.
Everybody was moved out of District 2 that was running, so.
Maybe that was the reason.
Yeah, they didn't move me out of District 5 so far.
Well, it's interesting. We could talk about redistricting just a little bit here.
Okay.
That could be our first subject. I was actually on the redistricting committee. And interestingly enough, the district lines that we revised to comply with the state law of redistricting were completely thrown out, I guess, in the last. So we submitted those for minor changes, hopefully to be approved by the Board of Supervisors.
Two different options,
and they threw those completely out. And as a part of that, which is, you know, I know that this didn't have anything to do with, you know, some of the candidates being in the districts that they divided and things like that. Because that would be illegal, because it's supposed to be done for population sake and for a lot of other different
things. Yeah, they would never look up their addresses.
They're never supposed to look up anybody's address. No. It's never supposed to be that they do this for political reasons. But interestingly enough.
Yeah, coincidentally, Dale Ball's street was cut in half, and the half he lives on was taken out of District 2. Tim Garman is out in Happy Valley, and Happy Valley was taken out of District 2. And one of the Haywards was threw his hat in the ring and was running, and he was also removed out of District 2. So three of the four viable candidates were removed out of District
and
2.
And who's District 2?
I believe that would be Leonard Modi's.
Leonard Modi. It's just a big coincidence.
So who did this? I mean, who said, oh, no, we're going to adopt this one?
Yeah, good question, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. They went took it back for revision, and then that was what they revised. So I'm not sure who came up with the revision.
It's funny, because why were we even on the committee? I'm like thinking, we did all this stuff. We showed up to all these meetings, revised these lines so that they could completely ignore them and do whatever they wanted.
Well, your quote at the meeting, and I was at that meeting. I can't go to most Board of Supervisors meetings because they're at 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I work for a living. But I was at that one because it was in 4 in the afternoon. And, yeah, you were quite prophetic with your thing, or your quote was, we spent all this time and all this work and drew all this stuff, and you guys are just going to throw it all out and do whatever you want anyways. And it's like, that's kind of what they did.
Yeah,
and like usual, watch this hand here. Why we go ahead and do what we want over here.
It's just really a big coincidence that it's all in Modi's district. I wonder if, do you know what would be good? It's like a Project Veritas, insider whistleblower that would have him on camera.
He's pretty savvy. He's pretty savvy. He's been doing this a while. He's pretty savvy. You can catch some of the other ones speaking off the cuff with people around them that they didn't know were listening, but he's pretty savvy.
Yeah, you have to watch it. He may call say that you're stalking him.
But they haven't really completely approved those district lines yet. There's going to be a meeting. And last time I was at the meeting, they said something like they were in favor of the first two that we submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And it all looked pretty good. They were going to make some minor changes, and that was how the conversation was left.
Well, it was a minor change. They only changed one.
As they're looking up Dale Ball's address and Garland's address on their laptops, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just minor. What's the problem?
And then I hear, because I couldn't make it to the very last meeting, because it was a special meeting that was called, and I had other things going on.
So if they cut those guys off, then what district do they end up being in?
Oh, well, Tim Garman is now in my district, District 5. Dale Ball, I'm not sure what district he was moved into. Probably Clemente is more than likely District
1, yeah.
I would assume. Yeah. And then I'm not sure which of the Haywards it was, but I don't know where
that's
they moved him.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're running for Les Baugh's seat.
I am, yes.
Okay. And
I was running whether he was going to retire or not. I actually, 8 years ago, when he kind of stabbed the Jefferson Movement in the back, I've been a little bit bitter ever since then.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so
I remember the couple of really specific days where he did it.
Yeah.
All of us outside the chambers the first time.
There was that meeting over there off Airport Road at that. I can't remember what we were doing over there. Forest Service meeting building. And then we were having a protest over there. And he was all, yay, yay, Jefferson, yay. That was right before the meeting at the Board of Supervisors office. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, oh yeah, we're all on the same team and go Jefferson. And then that other meeting happened and it was like, we're here to support you, but, he goes up there and calls for a vote that makes sure that we can't even do a presentation forever.
And then when Kehoe's motioned that and he seconded the motion to never talk about it again. So I was a little upset. So, Melissa Hunt ran against him 4 years ago and, she was a great candidate and, friend of mine, and I was really hoping that she could pull it off.
Les has got a lot of people snowed, in my opinion.
He does. He actually does.
He's a great politician.
He's very good.
He's the consummate politician.
He is. Yeah.
That's the definition of politics.
He was down at Cottonwood 4 years ago. This time, a few months before an election, and he's down there. And of course, 4 years ago, the number one concern was jail beds. That's all anybody cared about was jail beds because, we're still having the same problems now as we had then. But the jail was full, and so he's down there, and he can't talk about what he's done for Cottonwood because he really hasn't done much. So
that's why I wanted to finish my definition of politics.
Oh.
You know what that is, right? Many poly. and ticks, blood-sucking insects.
Yeah.
Parasites.
And by the way, I'm not a politician.
Just saying.
I think this world needs more people representing people.
Farmers and blue-collar workers.
That are not politicians.
Teachers. And I hate to say attorneys, but I will. And, you know.
Their duty and go back to...
People who care about America.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so what was the main reason you put your hat in the ring, do you think? If you were to pick one topic out, what would that be, probably?
And that was it. Like I say, Melissa Hunt was a great candidate, and she's a friend of mine. The day she told me, I think I was one of the first persons she told. And ironically, it was at a Jefferson event. It was a breakfast in down in Anderson at the Senior Center. And... you know, I was very excited for her, and, you know, it was a relief because I didn't have to run then, you know, and because I was kind of thinking about doing it at that time. And, but, you know, I talked to her a year or so ago and, you know, told her that, hey, if you're not going to run, I'm going to run. And she said, no, that's great. You have my blessing, you know, fantastic. And you might want to talk to Barron. And so I talked to Barron, and Barron's comment was, well, nobody says two of us can't run. So, okay, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not, you know, doing anything underhanded. So yeah, I decided to run, and I mean, you know, it takes quite a bit of funding, and fortuitously, I'm pretty good at fundraising, so.
He just happens to be an auctioneer.
We've only done a few of them here in the last few years.
But yeah, that's what a lot of people, you know, that I think that was Melissa's, you know, biggest downfall was the funding.
It takes money, unfortunately.
It takes a ton of money, yeah. And unfortunately, she knocked on 6,000 doors, you know, 6,000 households she knocked on their door and talked to them, and it's like, you know, unfortunately, radio commercials and TV commercials and flyers stick with people a little bit better, I think, and that's what it takes, and that all takes money, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, money is a big piece of it to get that information out.
And the good news is, you know, there's some comments now online. Some people are looking into some of the funding of the candidates, and there's some questions as,
always questions.
Questionable funding, and it's like, you know, I told one gal that I said, yeah, my special interest group, you may have heard of them, it's called We the People. That's my special interest group, you know. So, I'm able to do these fundraisers, and we raise quite a bit of money out of them, and it's I'm not taking them from special interest. I'm not, you know, bought and paid for by anybody. I go out there, show people a good time. I have a lot of great, great people in this community that support me, and they have fun at the fundraisers, and we make some money, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and they're there because they want to change what's going on in the county and at the local level.
And the great thing is those are the people I have to answer to.
Right.
And that's the people I want to answer to.
Well, there you have it. So what do you think is the most important issue in your district?
Well, I mean, this crime is still a huge problem. I mean,
there's
crime...
There's crime out there?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know they don't report on it.
They don't prosecute anybody either.
Well, they don't, no. Well, they try to prosecute some people. We won't go down that road. But, it's definitely... I mean, the crime and you know, it's the transients and the homelessness and, you know, and I try to differentiate those. There's a difference, in my opinion, of transient and homeless. I think there's two very separate groups there, and, you know, there is a small portion of homeless people that, you know, would...
Through no fault of their own.
Would seek help and want help, and there's a lot of programs for them. You can get all the programs you want to people that don't want help, and it's not going to do any good. You're wasting your money. You're throwing money down.
I mean, just look at some of the fires, and when I say not through any of their own fault, I've seen guys that are completely burned out, you know, with no insurance.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, wow, you know, what do? You know, I mean, do you go down to the Salvation Army? And I don't know. I've heard some bad news about them. I'm not going to repeat yet, but until I do a little research on it. But
Chris is right. If they don't want help, those type of individuals would take help, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, where the other ones, it's like an alcoholic or a drug person or whatever. If they don't want to be helped, no matter how much money you pour into them, what kind of program you get into them.
You know, that's a very good way of putting it, pour into them.
Yeah.
Because that's where a lot of the money gets.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, so we could do it all day long and not make a difference in our communities.
It was kind of eye-opening to me when I learned that there's open beds in the Mission pretty much every single night, that there's open space available.
Well, because if you go there, you have to be sober and clean
and
follow the rules.
Yeah. And that tells you. I mean, there's programs out there, and I'd be more than willing to absolutely give a helping hand to somebody that needs help, by all means. But if somebody doesn't want help, then, you know, you're kind of throwing money at a problem that's just, you're just throwing money at it. It's not, you're not going to fix it.
Well, I'm sympathetic to a lot of the drug stuff in the, from the perspective of, it's a problem for these people. They get in a bad place, you know, whether they can't find a job or they can't get off the stuff, and they put themselves in a worse place and a worse place. And it'd be nice if you could help them, but some of them you just can't. And, you know, tough love might be the only answer for some of them, that it gets just so ugly that they have to do something, because it comes down to a decision at some point. Am I going to just go ahead and go so far down this road that I'm not recoverable and I die? Or am I going to go back the other way and start becoming a productive citizen and change my life?
And one of the things that would help that also is, you know, a 21 or a 30-day jail sentence to get them out of the system.
Maybe like a 6-month to a year jail sentence, you know, to dry
well,
out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, if you have the drugs out of your system, you know, and you might be at a better point in your life to accept help, to want help and
right.
accept help.
Right.
I mean, if you're high and you're coming off and you just need to get high again, well, you know, you're not looking for help. You're looking for more drugs.
Right.
So,
right. And usually like 30 days isn't going to be long enough, because
it's just long enough for them
to get the, I need it, and then you turn them loose we're right back to where we started.
What I wouldn't do is I wouldn't go after the drug so much as the crime, and this is where I think they make the mistake. I don't think the drug should be the crime, but if you loot a store, you rob somebody,
right.
You shoot somebody, something like that, then just pound them into the pavement, as far as I'm concerned, and I mean that figuratively, from the perspective of, you know, they're not going to learn unless there's a consequence, you know. It's like telling your kid to stop doing something, you know. If he's being arrogant and is not going to listen, there's got to be a consequence at some point.
Yeah, there's no consequences right now.
Yeah.
You make the option, meaning them. You make the option. What do you want?
Historically, with drugs and things like that, too, it's pretty interesting, because you go through and you look at these people that have these problems. And the problem is their friends and the circles that they walk in. They get out of jail and they still have these same friends that are living that lifestyle. So a lot of times the people that actually seek help, get clean, get off these drugs, a lot of time it actually requires them to make a move in their life and move to an area to where they don't have that network of people that are going to help them live that lifestyle, because a lot of these people that are quote-unquote their friends are the people that are depending upon them to need them to supply them the drugs, and so they're helping them achieve that same lifestyle that they may have gotten clean of. The other problem that we see with the homeless that a lot of people really don't see is that they just don't want to be part of society.
Right.
There's a good portion of them that just want to not work a job, not have to have any ownership of any property, and just want to be able
to live.
It's
the socialist paradise.
Well, it basically has turned into that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch these guys on TikTok. There's a guy on there that he jumps trains. And so he'll turn around and get on the train, and he'll go travel across the country.
His name's not Willie, right?
No.
It's like a boxcar. Does he have a guitar?
But you see a lot of this all over the place, but there's that portion of people that don't want to be helped, and I get it, because within the system that we have right now, within this crony capitalism that we have, the problem with it is you have these big companies like Amazon and Walmart that win, and you have the mom and pops that basically get screwed over by our government at every turn, and then you have the working class that once you go from your minimum wage job just a little bit more, you start bumping yourself up to where you're paying more taxes than you ever were before. And a lot of it gets back to the idea that we really do need good financial literacy within our schools that we don't have.
Right.
I'll agree with a lot of that. Yeah, that's for sure. So where do you sit with masks and vaccines, Chris?
So my commercial, a couple commercials back that I was playing, and it's exactly how I feel. Hey, I support both sides. You want to wear a mask? By all means, wear a mask. You wear two. I don't care. You want to get the vaccine? By all means, get the vaccine. Get your boosters. Do whatever you want. If you don't want to get a vaccine and you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Don't wear a vaccine. My point is the government is not to tell you to do anything, not to do either one of them. The government shouldn't be telling you to wear a mask. The government shouldn't be telling you not to wear a mask. The government needs to be out of the equation, and you decide on your own. Take personal responsibility for your choices and do what you want to do. And, you know, and the propaganda now of the unmasked are spreading the disease, or the unvaccinated are spreading the disease. My personal experience with that was the exact opposite. I had a vaccinated person bring the disease to my house. So I don't believe the propaganda, and again, I just take the government out of the equation. I don't think they should be making anybody do anything.
Are you calling Joe Biden a liar?
Well,
it's more with Dr. Fauci than
I think it's more the WHO and the CDC and
exactly.
Oh, I'll call Joe Biden a liar because I think he is, and I think he lies about it. I don't. When did he know?
At this point, does he even know what he's saying?
He doesn't really know.
But for us, it's more of our governor, good old Newsom down there.
Mussolini.
He's the one that's a.
Well, I think they're all. I think this goes back to a world governing body trying to take over, whether it's communists, and Xiao Jinping or whatever. And, we got the new variant coming out, and everybody needs to mask up and get vaccinated and do whatever you're told, and the government gets rid of all your rights. So that couldn't be a planned operation, could it?
Yeah.
So.
And I was glad to see Cottonwood, which is in your district, stand up against the mandate for masks and all that. They adopted that resolution.
The school board?
Yeah.
That was Happy Valley that stood up. Cottonwood is, I think is doing a great job. I mean, Cottonwood basically has said, we're under a mask mandate, we need the state money. They sent out a letter, hey, we're under the mask mandate, but basically during their board meeting said, listen, if you don't want your kid to wear a mask, nobody's going to enforce it, okay? We can't say that we're not having a mask mandate, but, nobody's going to make your kid put a mask on. So they've kind of taken the approach of, okay, yeah, Governor, I guess we're going to agree with you. We'll support your mandate, but we're not going to enforce anything.
Yeah, I think you got to give these guys the finger anyway at some point. I really do. I mean, this whole subterfuge of, well, we're going to do what we're told, but we're not, is kind of contrary to following rule of law, because if they're breaking the law, I'm not trying to criticize as much as I'm saying. I see clearly through this crap of twisting and turning the law. Should the local authorities have the ability to tell Gavin Newsom to pound sand?
You keep saying law. We're not talking about any laws here.
I forgot. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. It's all mandates. It's all social compacts. There's no law. Nothing's gone through the legislature to tell anybody to wear a mask.
No.
Or to take
They don't follow any of the emergency, authorization act, qualifications to be an emergency.
The county could take themselves out of the emergency declaration. I mean, we're not under a state of emergency.
No.
The hospitals are not overrun,
But I guess if you make half the people quit there by making a mask mandate,
now it's starting to get overrun a little
bit.
Huh?
It's gonna
maybe
it's going to get overrun. No,
maybe.
That couldn't be a planned deal. These guys never think of those things, do they?
Yeah.
And you label everything COVID that comes into your hospital or your clinic.
Well, now we got the new mandate. The new variant of, so there's going to be a whole slew of propaganda, fear. You look across the this last weekend, the football games. I didn't see hardly anybody wearing a mask. I wonder what happened.
Well, nobody's wearing a mask in South Dakota. I haven't exactly heard that being a.
I have a clip from the governor up there.
Yeah. Hey, that governor that knows where Cottonwood is, by the way. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I guess it's almost time for a break, so we can go to a break and we can pick up this conversation on the other side. If you want to call in, have a question or comment for Chris, give us a call. 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson?
To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14. 60.com.
I was going to say, is that the chicken song?
Kind of appropriate for throwing your
Travis was really getting into that.
He was, yeah, I know. He's back there dancing. So I'm going to play a recall
commercial
here real quick, and then we'll go to our callers. All right, which we have a couple of them. Are we ready? I can't see him anymore. Okay, we're ready. Here we go.
Sorry.
Recall Leonard Modi. Are you aware of Modi's lack of support for upholding your Second Amendment right? Did you know that Modi consistently disregards the voice of the public and usurped your power to elect a new sheriff by appointing two sheriffs? Have you heard that the grand jury found Modi guilty of using his position for personal gain during the car fire? It's time for a supervisor that truly represents you. Vote yes to recall Supervisor Leonard Modi.
This ad is paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
There we have it. That's number one. I think we'll try to get through a few of them today.
Yeah. They're all really good. So we got a couple callers. I believe Brian is first. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
You got a question or comment for Chris?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Good. Great. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a fan of the show. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Well, thank you.
My comment kind of goes along with what you guys are actually talking about right now, and that's the these politicians, you know, what really irritates me is these politicians, they run on a campaign, they run on a platform, and then when they get into office, they totally go the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And I had written down some examples of what just happened with Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. He ran on a platform. He was gonna go and protect constitutional rights. He was gonna follow in DeSantis' footsteps. And as soon as he got elected, he turned around and told his constituency, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to protect your rights as far as the mask mandates and the vaccine mandate. I'm just going to leave it up to the counties to decide that." I mean, this is just an ongoing thing. We get people in office, we think they're constitutional, we think they're for freedom and liberty. And they're going to do one thing, and they go a total different direction.
Well, I might take a little bit of disagreement with that, as I think it should be at the county level. Although I think they should support you know, your constitutional rights and, you know, the, you know, no mandates and all of that is in any way they can. But he might be a little bit correct on that, but I haven't had a chance to really look at that. I think our Board of Supervisors should be stopping these guys, period.
Well, he did the same. I also just read an article yesterday that he was going to roll back some of the gun restrictions in Virginia, and then he turned around and said, no, I'm going to just put that aside for now. I'm not going to do anything regarding that when I get into office. That's not a priority.
Okay. I don't like that, but I get what you're saying. I mean, I understand what your point is, that so many times we've been stabbed in the back by the politicians after they get elected. I'm in total agreement with
that.
Yeah,
so. I understand that, but you got some kind of comment or something you want to say to that,
Chris? Well, that's the comment. That's basically the comment. We get people in office, and they go the opposite direction, and it's like, how do we get ahead of this? How are we going to get ahead of this journey?
That's why I was asking Chris if he had some kind of comment.
Yeah,
let
Chris respond.
Oh, Chris, okay, I'm sorry.
Stop electing politicians is the easiest way. I mean, because they all lie. So, you know, I'm doing this, quite frankly, because for the reasons you just mentioned. I mean, I'm sick and tired of politicians myself, and I'm sick and tired of them making all these promises, and then they get in there and they do the exact opposite. Or they get in there, like we have a couple of local ones here, that get swallowed by the swamp. They go in with good intentions, and they get swallowed by the swamp.
Right.
You know, there's two ways to go there. Either they were lying to begin with, which is sounds like, you know, the situation you're talking about. He was lying to begin with just to get elected. That happens all the time. But then there's other cases where they get elected, they get in there, and pretty soon they start liking the perks and some of the stuff, and they don't want to upset the apple cart because they want to keep the perks coming. So we need to stop electing politicians, and that's exactly why.
Do you know what I think the other answer to that is? Get in their face when they break their promises. Get in their face hardcore. Do everything you can to expose them if they do something like that. You can't be nice to these people. A lot of people take this political arena, and they get elected, oh, we have to support him no matter what, and that's bull crap, because, you know, I've been in the face of every politician that I come, and, you know, they need to fear you, not anything else. They need to fear you exposing them so that they can't sit in their seat and be comfortable, and that's what a lot of people need to learn.
Yeah, and I
another comment I wanted to add to that is, you know, what I've found, you know, since I've been following politics for a long time now, is that everything that the left does is always offensively, and then the right or the conservative movement always has to react to it. I mean, conservative movement going to take an offensive position?
I think that's totally changing, Brian. I think I get your point, and it's totally changing. You're seeing stadiums filling up with "Let's Go Brandon." You're seeing memes across the board. The conservatives are starting to attack back.
I was going to say it's going past whether it's Republican or Democrat. It's the conservatives that are starting to take control and stand up against that.
We need these representatives in Congress to actually go on the offense.
I agree.
For example, Doug LaMalfa, what does that guy do in District 1? What does he do?
Good question.
Well, we don't really want my opinion at this point because...
But going back to Doug LaMalfa and what you guys were talking about earlier, the perception people have that when you elect, or used to have, when you elect these people, if you can shake their hand, then they're a good buddy and they're going to
They're more worried about access than they are anything else.
Yeah.
And it's like,
we need to change
it's
that.
Like Leonard Modi's a conservative, right?
One more thing real quick. I mean, we don't, in my opinion, we don't vet these people well enough. And if anybody knows anything about Glenn Youngkin, nobody could figure out that he's part of the Carlyle Group, which is a globalist fund company or a major.
Well, that's a problem.
It's a giant globalist investment company called the Carlyle Group, and he was the CEO for like 20 years.
You also have to be careful that the left drops bombs on people that aren't necessarily true to discredit them. But we got to move on. We have another caller, Brian. We appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
One quick comment on that before we move on. So one of the big things, too, that we have to be aware of is the money that's flowing into these people. Like the Koch brothers, a lot of people think, oh, they're the Republican Koch brothers. They're these good guys. No, they are literally against every single conservative thing. I have been listening to people that that had funding deals that were set up by them, and then they said, oh, you can do this and you can run, but you have to take every conservative thing out of what you're actually
That's
doing.
That's why right. local politics is where everything is at and everything starts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And with that, we'll go to our other caller. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, is Chris still there?
Yep, he is.
Okay, I have a question for him. How you doing, Chris?
What's going on, Terry?
The sheriff made a statement that while he supports the right of the Second Amendment, he will not allow people to carry an exposed weapon. I want your opinion on what you think about the Second Amendment, and I'm trying to figure out why the Second Amendment is the only right we have that we need permission for. So I'd like your comment on that, and also your comments on the Shasta County becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary county. Anyway, go ahead, my friend.
Okay, yeah, I'm a lifetime member of the NRA, card-carrying lifetime member of the NRA. Totally support Second Amendment big time. It protects the rest of them. As far as open carry goes, talked about this before. Open carry isn't necessarily everybody wearing a six-shooter on their hip down at Walmart or going to McDonald's with a six-shooter on their hip. Open carry, it can be as simple as having a gun rack in the back window of your pickup truck, like my grandpa did for decades, with a shotgun or a rifle or whatever in the back window of the pickup. That's considered open carry. That is now illegal in California. So, I totally support Shasta County being a sanctuary, Second Amendment sanctuary county, absolutely. And I would support open carry. And again, open carry, I know a lot of people keep talking about gunfights in the streets and people walking around with guns on their hips, and that's not all open carry. Open carry is just simply taking a gun out of your house to your truck without putting it in a case. I mean, there's a whole lot more to open carry than just people walking around having gunfights.
Sanctuary city?
Would you be in support, then, of an ordinance, which we can do legally, an ordinance to not only enforce, it sounds like you're really on the side of the Second Amendment, I think it's great, but would you be in favor of an ordinance that would actually state that people in Shasta County would be allowed to open carry, since concealed carry is a privilege, not a right, then the only right has to be open carry? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, shall not be infringed is pretty simple. It's pretty simple verbiage. So, we've let them infringe on it by turning rights into privileges by requiring a permit. That's how your rights end up getting to be privileges, and the privileges can be taken away. Rights can't be taken away. Privileges can be taken away. So we have made it so that your rights can be taken away, but I mean under drastic circumstances. But we have made it so that we'll get a permit to carry a concealed weapon. Well, you just turned that right. You had that right to do that to begin with. You just turned it into a privilege. So
it's doublespeak. You know, I heard you last week or whenever you spoke about the sheriff. I think it was last week, Terry. And it's a contradiction in terms. It's doublespeak. When the sheriff says, I'm for the Second Amendment, which says you have the right to keep and bear arms, which in my book says that you can walk around with bearing an arm. And he says, but I won't allow that. I'm going to support the concealed carry. It's saying two opposite things in the same sentence. You can't support one and support the other.
Actually, he said that he wouldn't allow a right, which basically is illegal.
Same thing.
And that's what he said, because concealed carry is his permission, but he won't allow everybody a concealed carry even. So it is like apples and oranges. I have just one more question for Chris, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, Chris, would you be in favor of another ordinance that would give the opportunity for people in all the county to vote for any supervisor, since that particular supervisor has 20% of the vote, being one of five people, and would affect you even if that particular supervisor is not in your district?
That one I'll have to think about, Terry. That would I hear what you're saying, because you're absolutely correct. I mean, I'm not in Leonard Modi's district, but his votes affect me personally. So from that aspect, it seems like City of Reading kind of elects their representatives citywide. The only problem I see with that is as a guy that's running for District 5 supervisor, I would have to be running in all five districts.
That's a good point.
You know, that's now you go from, you know, having to raise $100,000 to $500,000. So.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, I was asked that question. That's why I passed it along.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend, and, you know, God bless you.
All right, thanks,
Eric. All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Did you want to address the Sanctuary City part of that?
The Sanctuary County?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be for Sanctuary County as far as a Second Amendment Sanctuary County. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this other clip real quick. This is another clip commercial here. Are we ready to go? All right, here's another clip on the recall.
District 2 Supervisor Leonard Modi must go. He has betrayed the public trust by using his power and influence for his own benefit. He has spread his malicious tentacles of influence into the DA's office, the sheriff's office, and the Redding City Police. He was charged by the grand jury of misfeasance, that we know. But what else has he done that has not been revealed? This is why I am voting yes to recall Leonard Modi.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
District 2 Supervisor Leonard...
I hit the button again. I was trying to hit the shutoff button there. All right, so where else do we want to go?
We can talk about one of the recent board votes. It's kind of interesting to me. It shows exactly how it's supposed to work, and there's also a little, while we're speaking of Leonard Modi, there's a little clip or a little part of it that shows how it's not supposed to work. The Hatchet Ridge Wind Project, they voted 4-1 to not permit that, to not let them put 700-foot-tall windmills all across the ridge up there. And to me, that vote as a supervisor, those hard decisions are really easy to make if you do your job right, because you are a representative of the people and you represent their views and you vote along their views. So it did bring up a little tiny bit of a question. I had to pause for a second because I am a huge property rights guy, and you know, that was their property they wanted to do this project on. So that kind of had me a little bit of a pause, because it's like, well, I have a hard time telling somebody they can't do something on their own property.
Sure.
But 700-foot tall multiple towers is a little extraordinary. So,
well, because that affects everybody else's
property
value as well.
Absolutely. So the four supervisors did exactly what they should have done. That there was very, very, very few people that were for that project. I mean, there was the people that were doing the project getting the federal money, and a couple of the local businessmen that thought they could sell some cement and, you know, some trucks or whatever. But it was very small. The vast majority of people were absolutely against that. So those four voted against it, as their constituents would have wanted them to. Leonard Modi voted for it, and it wasn't because there's a whole bunch of people out in Happy Valley that were pro-windmill, or a whole bunch of people in, you know, West Reading that were pro-windmill. He voted for it because the union's leadership was for the windmill project for some, you know, 6 months worth of short-term jobs. So he voted the way they wanted him to. And that, to me, is what's wrong with politics now. You know, what's right with politics, or what is right, is what the four did. They voted the constituents' wishes.
Right.
And then he voted his special interest group's wishes.
Well, see,
yeah,
wasn't
he the one during one of the board meetings that said that, you know, the people didn't represent, that were in the chambers, wasn't enough representation, and all that?
And then it was pointed, that was for the masks and the vaccines and the mask mandates. And then it was pointed out that no, half the people in Shasta County pull their kids out of school.
See, they pick and choose.
So
when
then on the windmill,
it's not about
the windmills,
it's
you're
not
going back to your point.
Yeah, it's not about the constituency. It's about something else a lot of times.
Who's pushing or pulling your strength.
Exactly. So, you know, you go back there and you look at the votes that were taken, and Leonard Modi and company, the 3-2, they did do the right thing that time, but it's typically about the money.
Yeah.
Because, I yelled out one meeting, it's about the money. No, it's not. It's not about the money. And then, you know, no more than an hour later, they're talking about the $42 million coming in. I mean, if you have to sell your soul to the devil to get money, then that's the problem. And that's what they're doing. They're using the money for the mask mandates, for the vaccine mandates, all of it. And that's coercion that's coming from the top through the CARES Act and so forth. So That money gets tripled down, and these guys are, $30 trillion in debt. And so we just keep digging the hole deeper and deeper and deeper, and they think they're going to bail out the county with this CARES Act money as long as they do what they're told, and, oh, we'll just avoid it. It's kind of like the Cottonwood thing. We'll just avoid it. We'll just take the money and go, yeah, we're going to do what we're going to do, but we're, you know, and then we'll do whatever we want. Well, there's something fundamentally wrong with that.
Well, and the counties have some leverage that nobody ever uses or ever even talks about, really. But I mean, you know, we take back all this money with all these strings attached, and you know, we beg for this money back, and we'll do whatever you want. We'll, you know,
right.
Put in sidewalks in Cottonwood and streetlights, and you know that we don't want down there because there's all these strings attached, and that's the only way we get our money back. But that's the thing; it's our money.
It should never go there in the first place.
Here, exactly. So you know, these counties are like, you're gonna give us our own money back, but you're gonna put all these strings to it. How about if we don't give it to you to begin with?
Yeah, how about we?
You know, what's
going
to happen then? And if Shasta County were to do it, and pretty soon, you know, 50 other counties did it, well, then guess where Sacramento? They'd be saying, hey, we'll take your money with strings attached. We don't care. Give us your money back.
And it's all about the strings attached. Not only are there strings to do what you're told, but the reason that they want all this money is there's kickbacks going on like you would not believe.
To
everybody. He's getting a kickback. Yep. I mean, how do you think these guys in Congress got rich in the first place? You know, they're handing all this money out to foreign countries, not because they love all the foreign countries, because when they hand it out, they get a kickback somewhere.
Well, look at our you know, I might get myself in trouble here, but look at our Chamber of Commerce right here in
Thank
Reading.
You.
I mean, they take the money from the CARES Act. Our board gives them the money from the CARES Act, and then they donate back to the anti-recall effort and back to the board members. It's like, wait, what? How'd that happen?
There's something wrong with this?
So the people in this room, our taxpaying citizens in this room, just funded the stop the recall effort.
Well, it's fundamentally wrong. And why would you use the private organization to dole out the money in the first place?
Yeah,
unless you're just doling it out to your friends.
So
there's connected dots between the Manguses on that too, because you know we get zero reporting on this crap. I wonder why. Mike Mangus and then Jake Mangus. So we got Mike Mangus, who's you know the anchor of Channel 7 disinformation news, and then we've got Jake Mangus, who's the head of the Chamber of Commerce, where the money's going to, and it's like nobody knows nothing. It's just another day at the office, you know.
Yeah, there was no reason why the Board of Supervisors couldn't have handled all of that themselves. So that brings me to a couple things, and people are always saying, how do you feel about, like, Measure A bringing, you know, they want to bring back sales tax, or it's been talked about, that's one.
So I'm all for building a new jail or expanding on the current jail. I'm all for getting more jail beds. I'm absolutely against raising taxes to do so.
Okay. And the other is audit.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would love to see where our money's going to. In fact, a $600 million budget that was just rubber stamped by four supervisors, didn't even look at the darn thing. $600 million, yeah, you do an audit in there, I bet you wouldn't have to raise taxes. You might be able to find some money for a jail.
Yeah.
I just about bet you a dollar to a donut. Now, I just had a donut, so I don't laugh, but I'd bet you a dollar to a donut that a $600 million budget, if you did a forensic audit in there, you'd be able to find a little bit of money for a jail.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I had another question for you that we had asked one of the other candidates that was running, and that is, would you be in support of ending the emergency mandate that is going on? Because as of, I believe it's the 5th and 6th articles of the governor's mandate.
Actually, 7 and 8.
7 and 8.
7 and 8 of the emergency declaration, and then it tells you what that is. The definition of the emergency is 5885B, I believe, in that document it refers to. That tells you, you know, it has to be overwhelmed services. And so forth.
Mm-hmm. And so how would you respond to that if the vote was done today?
So off the cuff, as a private citizen, I'd be absolutely all for that. I'd end it today. Now, as an elected representative, obviously I would have to do a little research with the hospitals and with the, you know, with the health department. I would have to double check the figures before I would go ahead and pull the plug on that. But as, you know, as a private citizen, I think we can end the state of emergency for sure. But as a representative, I would want to talk to the hospital.
Do a little
first,
bit of
make
homework.
Make sure that
maybe.
I'm not doing. Yeah, make sure that I'm not overreacting and you know voting emotionally on the thing. So
right. Yeah, it does get kind of emotional when people are telling you that you know you have to wear a mask, your kids have to wear a mask, you have to get jabbed, and we look around and we go, where's everybody at? You know, I mean, according to them, everybody in the county should be sick.
Yeah, and then you watch the Oscars or the Grammys, but not anybody watches them. But yeah, they're all in there with no masks, and these hypocrites are doing, you know, public service commercials telling everybody to get the jab and take a mask and wear two masks. And
my favorite one is you watch Joe Biden take his mask off, cough into his hand, and walk into the crowd without his mask on and start shaking everybody's hand.
Yeah. Fauci at the baseball game, you know, with his mask off, and whoops.
Yeah.
Well, it was just recently he was caught going into a store, flaunting his mask, not wearing it, just going over the border over there. I think it was Nantucket. And he was going into a store, a private store, and not wearing a mask.
Well, if you look at the numbers year over year, it's no worse. People die every year of the flu, of a lot of things. And if you look the numbers year over year from last year to this year or the year before, you'll find that this is not the plague that they're saying it is.
Right.
And the numbers are pretty close to the same, like you say, whether it was the flu or whatever. I mean, within a couple hundred or something like
that. Now, I'm not saying there's no COVID. I'm not saying the whole thing's a hoax. But what I'm saying is they're manipulating all of the data, period, to get these programs up.
Well, and right now we are more of a pandemic than we were in March of 2020 by far. I mean, I didn't know anybody back then that had COVID or had experienced COVID or knew somebody that had COVID. Now, I mean, it's every week, every day, you know, talk to somebody and, oh, this guy had COVID.
So the vaccines are working really well, aren't they?
Right. And then, you know, in our media, March 2020, I mean, it was just a dire situation. I was just 53-year-old Shasta County man tested positive for COVID yesterday from the Bernie area, and it was like, oh my God, there's another case. And now it's like 169 people are currently testing positive on Monday, and there's 500 people with it right now, and nothing to see here. Let's move along.
And that 53-year-old, you know, got hit by a train, but he died of COVID.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, and now there's, I mean,
he didn't?
Everywhere I go, I talk to people that have COVID or had COVID or getting over COVID. Yeah, exactly. And whereas before, a year and a half ago, when we shut everything down, it was going to be the apocalypse, you know.
Well, we've created the apocalypse with our economy. Gee, that wasn't a planned deal, was it?
Yeah.
Before we get to our caller, I want you to get out your contact information, how people can get a hold of you.
Good idea.
How they can donate or support you if they choose to do that.
We just like to talk. Sometimes we forget.
Well, I know they can send donations to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003.
And you know that one off the top of your head, fortunately.
Yes, I do.
I do have a campaign phone. I don't answer it every day. I don't use it every day. It's going to be, I will get to that point where I will be using it all the time and not my personal phone. But, you know, as of for now, I do have a campaign phone that's strictly for my campaign. And that phone number is area code 530-744-4539. So 744-4539.
And do you have a Facebook page or anything like that?
That's in the works right now. Actually, Linda, I need some information, some banking information on there so we can get the donation buttons going into the right account number and funding and stuff. So, that is in the works. That should be happening anytime soon.
Yeah, Jimmy's right. Buy silver and gold, I'm telling you. And if you like Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin. Yeah, it's crazy out there.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got David. Good morning, David.
Good morning, y'all. How are you today?
We're doing good. How about you?
Not so bad. Just, you know, living the nightmare.
What you got?
It's good. It's good to hear you guys talking the truth and seeing what's going on. You know, it's bloody apparent we're in, war right now. This is 21st century warfare, and it's psychological in a lot of ways.
Yep.
I was curious about, you know, listening to you guys today about your guest, what is your thoughts on geoengineering? Because I'm in Southern Humboldt, and I'm watching them spray right now. And the fact that that is a form of warfare, not only within the planet, but also within the psychology of people, because as they switch up all the, you know, the weather, they manipulate it. They've been doing it for years. They tell us it's climate change. So that's the psychology of it. It's our fault. But they don't, you know, you got Greenpeace saying nothing about it, mentioning nothing about it. And you got NOAA being owned by the Rockefellers, and the Rockefellers own the majority of the patents on stratospheric aerosol injections. What is your opinions on it, geoengineering, and what can we do about it to expose it? Because it's one of the deadliest things that I think is going on in the world today.
Yeah, so I've seen Dane Wiggington speak a few times, and I know Lori, and I mean I've seen both sides of it. I mean, I have seen a lot of the presentations, and it is pretty scary stuff. If you know, I remember the first time I watched him do a presentation, I'm like, if 10% of what he's saying is true, it's very scary. But I've also seen a lot on the other side of people that have, you know, said, no, this is not what's going on. This is, you know, yada, yada. So I would definitely be more than willing to look more into it for sure. You know, I've had some.
I think knowledge is power. And unfortunately, with this topic, like you said, it's very scary. If 10% of it's true, that's very scary. I've been researching it for 15 years. And I can tell you right now, there's more patents, there's more people who've spoken about it, and there's more non-disclosure agreements signed than you can shake a stick at. It's going on.
Well, yeah, right. Here's the problem, guys, David. It's at the top of the hour, and they are going to cut us off here very shortly. I don't mean to cut you short, but it will automatically cut you off. And I want to thank you for calling in with those questions.
God bless y'all.
All right. Thanks, well, thanks for the call, stay David. Tuned for the second part of Sovereign Mind Radio.
Blessings we've known through the years to join hands and thank the Creator.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A security guard has died after he was shot while protecting a San Francisco Bay Area television news crew. KRON-TV says the station is devastated by the loss of Kevin Nishida, a former cop and an armed guard who provided security for many reporters in the region. Sadly and ironically, he was shot in the abdomen during an attempted robbery of KRON-TV's camera equipment while the news crew was covering a smash-and-grab robbery at a clothing store. Parts of California have been struck by a rash of organized retail thefts. Maine's Environmental Commissioner is suspending a permit for a 145-mile electricity transmission project in the western part of the state.
The commissioner's decision comes after Maine residents rebuked the $1 billion project in a referendum and developers suspended construction under pressure from the governor. Opponents called on the commissioner to uphold the will of the people after the referendum vote, but developers wanted her to wait until a court rules on the referendum's constitutionality.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Britain's first winter storm has hit parts of northern England, Scotland, and northern Ireland and killed at least two people.
Storm Arwen has battered parts of the United Kingdom with gusts of nearly 100 miles per hour. The extreme weather conditions caused road closures, train delays, power cuts and high waves. In northwestern England, a man died after a tree fell on him, and in Northern Ireland, a man was killed when his car was hit by a falling tree. Though the worst of the storm appears to have passed, many have been warned against travelling as heavy snow and high winds continue. Karen Chamas, London.
Meanwhile, residents in Washington State are preparing for possible flooding as so-called atmospheric rivers once again threaten parts of the Northwest, which saw heavy damage from extreme weather earlier this month. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Did you know that Big Lou can vaccinate your entire estate from the virus known as Uncle Sam? That's right. Big Lou and Term Provider have the only single-dose solution in town, a $1 million term life insurance policy. Yep, a $1 million term life insurance policy with no side effects. One call to Big Lou can lead to an entire estate vaccination that'll provide 100% guaranteed protection against estate taxes and debt, even if you are a bit porky or have a splash of sugar diabetes. In fact, a 50-year-old male may qualify for $500,000 of coverage for less than $100 per month, $1 million for less than $200 per month. Call Big Lou at Term Provider to get the service and price you deserve with zero side effects. Call 800-555-2085 right now. 800-555-2085. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He follows the science, too. Call 800-555-2085 or visit BigLou.com. Big Lou doesn't give tax advice.
Is Portugal a worker's paradise or an employer's nightmare?
A new law on working from home makes the European country sound like an employee's dream come true. Companies can't attempt to contact their staff outside working hours. They must help staff pay for their home gas, electric, and internet bills, and bosses are forbidden from using digital software to track what their teleworkers are doing. But critics say the new rules are half-baked, short on detail, and unfeasible. And they may even backfire by making companies reluctant to allow working from home at all. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
At the makeshift camps along Calais and Dunkirk, migrants are digging in, waiting for their chance to make a dash across the English Channel to the United Kingdom from France. This despite the deaths of nearly 30 people last week alone when their boat sank a few miles off the shore. Police have stepped up patrols in recent days. The weather has worsened, but a lot of migrants say they're going to try it anyway. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Russian court has ordered five people to remain in pretrial detention for 2 months pending an investigation into a devastating blast in a coal mine in Siberia that killed dozens.
Russian authorities reported 51 deaths after a methane explosion rocked the mine in Siberia on Thursday. 46 miners were killed, along with five rescuers. Law enforcement officials said on Friday that miners had complained about the high level of methane, and the tragedy appears to be the deadliest in Russia since 2010. Officials have described Friday's discovery and evacuation of an injured rescue worker as a miracle, but said that finding any other survivors was highly unlikely. Bob Agner reported.
Officers with the North Carolina Police Department seem to have had no trouble tracking down the suspect in a break-in. Police in Asheville say they got a report of something going on at a downtown restaurant. The culprit, once he got inside, apparently just sat around drinking beer and eating ice cream, and he finally fell out, and they caught him pretty quick. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Grateful for each hand we hold, gathered round this table. Far and near we travel home, blessed that we are able. Grateful for this sheltered place, with light in every window. Saying welcome, welcome, share this. Come in away from sorrow. Father, mother, daughter, son, neighbor, friend, and friend.
Yeah, I thought, you know, a little Thanksgiving song would be a good appropriate thing, because I think we do need to give thanks. We still have so much to be thankful for out there. I mean, our families, our, you know, our lives, the weather.
Sure. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. It could always be worse. It could be worse.
Never say it can't get any worse, because every time I've ever said that, it does.
It's like a rule. I still wake up and I'm thankful for what I got.
Absolutely.
And where I'm at.
So with that said, let's talk about
money.
Money.
Since money seems to be talked about so much on here, is we need donations for the radio programs and podcasts.
And the media. Ask for money. Yeah. That's what we got to do, is ask for money, because we need your money to help us. And by the way, I don't know if we've ever mentioned this, but Pecan is a 501c3, and the donations are deductible. And so that's where we would like you to write the checks to and send them to.
14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003.
Make a note,
put media in the memo line, and you can always call. The number there is 530-221-0101. We could take a credit card if you want to do it that way.
Yeah.
So, please help us out. Every little bit counts. I know everybody, it's getting that time of year.
Despite rumors to the contrary, we make zero money.
Yeah.
We all give up our Sundays.
Well, we don't make any money doing this. Let's rephrase that. We don't make any money doing radio and podcasts right now.
There you go.
Yeah, please help us out if you can. If you have any questions, like I said, give us a call at 530-221-0101. All right. We do the podcast on Mondays. I want to get that out there on Mondays at 11 a.m. at Mountaintop Media.
Very good. All right. So I guess where we should start, I mean.
One more.
Oh, you got another one?
Are we going to talk about the chat room just a little bit? Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess we could talk about the chat room.
Isn't it nice
in the chat room?
It's so nice. Just have to say it.
Isn't it nice in there? Because we just don't, you know, oh, free speech, oh, we don't allow. No, the thing is that hate speech is not free speech. When you're just throwing stones, it's not about free speech. It's about trying to squash free speech, which is the projection that the left likes to do constantly on everything. Anything that they say you're doing, they're doing, and only twice as bad.
I just want to say thank you to all the people, the patriots in the chat room. You guys are awesome.
Perfect. And then, you know, it's like Rittenhouser. We'll talk about is Rittenhouser suing people? I heard he was suing The View. And then I traced all these stories down this morning. He's suing this $160 million on The View. And then he's suing, and they all led back to the same exact article, which I couldn't verify. That was unnamed sources, you know. So I think he's probably going to sue a bunch of people.
So in his interview on Tucker, he used some very specific legal terminology when discussing the way that the president described him.
But there's been no filing of the suits.
I'm aware.
But are you pretty sure he's going to sue the crap out of him? I think so. If he doesn't, he's crazy. I think that him and the other guy with the that got the Indian drum in his face, they should own CNN. They should be like partners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy days.
Because what is that called? Defamation of character?
Defamation of character, slander.
Yeah, all of the above.
I mean, they
prosecuted him before.
I think they need to go after the media, especially because, yeah. I mean, the first time I heard the story, I thought he shot some black guys. And I thought they were, Antifa protesters. I didn't know that they were a pedophile. A guy got out of a mental institution. Another one, a criminal, just was shooting people, running people. I don't even know what crossing state lines. There was all this disinformation.
Well, and it was all intentional. So, for
absolutely.
Instance, you didn't know. I knew because I was following Andy Ngo. I was following these people that were actually reporters on it. Flippin' Tim Pool was amazing on his podcast because during the time, even before the trial even started, I had already had the chance to hear six of the witnesses in the case on his show as he had them on. And this was all information that all of the media had this entire time. And it brings me back over to that case of the SUV crashing through all the people, because that's the way they're portraying it on that Christmas parade. The SUV.
Yeah,
crashing.
It's not like black guy that had Muslim ties.
Well, I don't know anything about Muslim ties.
I've heard he's had Muslim ties, is what I'm hearing.
So
the terrorists is what I'm hearing.
What I've seen personally on his page is he was extremely pro BLM.
Right.
He was against Kyle. He was really upset about the ruling. He had posts
talking
about
white people.
He had posts talking about how you can run people over and get away with it. And he also had tried to run over at least two people other than that in this case.
Yeah.
He was released just a couple days before
on
$1,000 bail.
One person or something.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing. But the thing about it is that the media doesn't want to actually cover the story at all with those facts or those details. They are literally saying he or she. They don't do any investigative journalism whatsoever. They actually, I mean, by all definitions, this would be a terror attack based upon the way it was, and it would also be race motivated. And to go through and try to plow down women and children and just anybody who's out there, and intentionally do these things. There have been anons that have been going around and actually retracing his path. He would have started out slow. There was already some damage to his vehicle. He had actually made a right-hand turn onto the parade route, had to go through one of the barricades there. A police officer was able to tap on his window and say, hey, you're going the wrong way, and then tap on his hood. So he was going slow like that to begin with. And then in the affidavit from a police officer, he said that he believed the guy intended to actually go through and hurt these people. So at one point, they actually fired upon the guy before he ended up plowing through all these people and taking off and getting away for a time to where his vehicle was discovered, and then they ended up discovering the guy afterwards. But the media doesn't want to cover any of these things. They don't want to cover the fact that there's no way that he would have accidentally gotten onto that parade route that way. And instead, they're trying to demonize an SUV. I guess we should just ban all the SUVs now.
That rotten piece of steel.
Yeah,
it's stupid. I don't know. I mean, but that's what we're dealing with constantly is this media that's it's not even a media anymore. It's a corrupt industry that is designed to have a political agenda and a slant of disinformation towards, you know, the leftist, communist, progressive party.
Well, and even Fox, with the exception of Tucker, sometimes is even complicit 100% with the exact same thing.
I noticed you said sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is there's big money involved in all of these stories. Right. There's very few principled people that are actually still out there that are willing to speak the truth because there's so much money. There's so many things that are involved in this, and there's so many ways they can get you now. Like ESG scores, the environmental social governance score that everybody has now, whether you think you do or not, you're being graded on that. And as things continue and push forwards, you're going to be more and more graded on it. I mean, let's talk about BlackRock that just took place over here at Davos at the World Economic Forum. They just said they're not going to do business with anybody that does anything that affects badly on carbon emissions. So if you're using gas products, they're not going to support you and they're not going to work with companies that do. I mean, in terms of BlackRock and their GDP and how much money is there, you've got the United States, you've got China, and then BlackRock. That's how much flipping money these people have in control. And to say that they're not going to do any business with anybody that does anything gas or anything else related or do business with those that do, that's going to be how they're going to try to take people's homes. That's going to be how this great reset plays out. Because get this. So you have a mortgage lender on your home. And as part of that mortgage lender, you need to be able to carry insurance. Well, you drive a gas car, we're not going to go ahead and do business with you. We're going to make it to where you can't insure your property. Now you're in violation of your terms. You have net 30 days to pay off the entire balance of the home or it's ours. I mean, this is the thing and the way that they're pushing forwards on these agendas. And, yeah, it all sounds crazy, but then look at these last 2 years and look at what they've been pushing forwards. Did anybody think you're going to have a passport to be able to go in places? Look at Macron and look at what they just did over in France just this last week. You have to have your third booster in order to be considered actually fully vaccinated.
Well, then what you have to look at is that the protesters were in the millions saying we're not going to do it. At some point in time, you get enough people together to say we're not doing it, then they can't make you. So with that said, I want to play another spot here on the recall. Okay, so let me get it all queued up here and make sure we're good to go, and the volume's up. And are we good to go? All right, here we go. This is another spot on the recall.
We must recall Leonard Modi. Doctors, scientists, and other professionals have addressed him consistently for the last year and a half at every board meeting regarding the science and information as to the harm that lockdowns have visited upon our county. He has refused to vote to allow Shasta County out of the state of emergency, stating it might draw unnecessary attention from the governor. Ultimately, it was to ensure money for their bloated pensions that Shasta County is in the rears to by over $1 billion. Vote to recall Leonard Modi.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
We must.
There we go. I got it on that's weird. It's not opening all the files for some reason. I'll get another one queued up here in a minute. So
while you get that queued up, I want to talk about a little bit about this new variant. So this new variant, the first doctor to actually find this in South Africa, he had some interesting things to say about this, and the fear-mongering has got to stop. So this is from townhall.com. The first South American doctor to alert authorities about the patients with the Omicron variant has told the Telegraph that the symptoms of the new variant are unusual but mild. Dr. Alekwe Kotsi said he was first alerted to the possibility of a new variant when patients in her busy private practice in the capital, Pretoria, started to come in earlier this month with COVID-19 symptoms that did not make immediate sense. They included young people of different backgrounds and ethnicities with intense fatigues and a 6-year-old child with a very high pulse rate, she said. None suffered from a loss of taste or smell. Their symptoms are so different and so mild from those I had treated before, said Dr. Kotsi, a GP, general practitioner for 33 years, who chairs the South African Medical Association alongside with running her practice. On November 18th, four family members all tested positive for COVID-19 with complete exhaustion. She informed the country's vaccine advisory committee. She said in total about 24 of her patients have tested positive for COVID-19 with symptoms of a new variant, and most were healthy men who turned up feeling so tired, and about half of them were unvaccinated. So this is an interesting case already. So we're already seeing that half of the people that were vaccinated were already getting this. And this is just one more step to where we say, hey, we got to have a new variant. And there was some interesting reporting that was done by Glenn Beck recently, and he still has it up on his channel, to where he actually goes through in details about the Moderna vaccination and about how they tie to the government. So the government actually worked in tandem with this, and the government actually owns a portion of the Moderna vaccinations. In addition to making it a mandate, they're also making money on the back end from taxpayer dollars on these things. And so it's one of the things to where, when does this end? Where does it go? I mean, you go through and you look at these things, and the variants, generally as you have a virus that mutates, it gets more transmissible but less deadly mm-hmm. so that the virus can actually survive. It's why you don't have things like Ebola that are spreading around killing everybody, because it kills the host too quickly. And if there was a variant of it that didn't kill the host so quickly, it would be more transmissible, but it would be less deadly. And so this is what we see with these new variants, that they keep scaring the crud out of everybody on it. And this is the thing. They want to have a fear motivating you on absolutely everything. And you go back and you look at the people that we're listening to right now. Fauci he's on this. Fauci is the guy that's been doing a lot of this to begin with. He lied before Congress. He said that he wasn't doing gain-of-function testing. We have all the documents right now to show that he was, in fact, doing gain-of-function testing. We have the people that were working with him on it that came out and whistle-blew on him because they didn't want to get in trouble for it and said, yeah, we were doing this. I've got a story right now to where we've got monkeys from bred on South Carolina Island to be tortured from Fauci from these tests that this guy was doing. Fauci is an evil human being. Approximately 600 monkeys are taken from the Morgan Island per year and shipped to some of the federal government's most painful and cruel laboratories for animal research. This is the dude you want to trust about what to put in you?
What happened to PETA?
Yeah?
Well, that's different now.
Listen to this. As of June 30th, 2019, there were 3,044 primates living on Morgan Island, with 77% of the population being females, according to documents obtained by a White Coat Waste Project through a Freedom of Information Act request. It's estimated that approximately 750 newborn monkeys were born on the island to await their potential use for vivisection each year. The average on these primates' lifespan once they began testing was 7 days.
I'm going to shift over into a J.P. Morgan, or a J.P. clip.
Yeah, you want to lighten things up a little bit? just a little bit?
Awaken with J.P. Have you got something there, sis, that you wanted to say?
I forgot what it was right now.
All right, so here, this is J.P. With another clip here from, this is about free speech. And it's kind of, you know, what we're talking about is the ability to stand up and talk about what's really happening, not what the mainstream media is telling us is happening. So are we ready to go in there? All right, here we go. Here we go. All right, this is JP, our friend Sears.
I believe you'll either be explaining to your grandchildren what freedom was or what censorship was. I believe freedom of speech is the backbone of all the other freedoms. I believe censorship is a pesticide against the human spirit, and it's better to keep your spirit organic. I believe that only people who have something to hide will work relentlessly to censor those who speak truth. I believe fear is the virus and bravery is the immune system. I believe letting algorithms guide your human interactions is like using soy to make meat substitutes. It's not the real thing. Plus, tofurkey's gross. I believe that either the Matrix is a metaphor for life, or life is a metaphor for the Matrix. But either way, a red pill a day keeps the authoritarians away. I believe encrypted messaging is at least as important as being able to go to the bathroom with the door closed. No one else's business but yours. Sorry, NSA. I believe freedom of speech requires you to tolerate all speech. Not just the speech you agree with. I believe disobeying unjust mandates should be as intuitive as not eating rotten food. I believe the solution for bad speech isn't no speech, it's more speech. Just like the solution for bad sex isn't no sex, it's more sex. I believe the most valuable currency is human connection. Bitcoin is number two. I believe centralization keeps you in the captivity of someone else's cage. And decentralization crushes the cage and sets you free. I believe fact-checkers are an insult to human intelligence, and they'd benefit humanity more if they spent their time planting flowers. I believe the only place censorship has in society is in silent meditation retreats.
Even that's questionable. I believe that if every once in a while you're not asking yourself which side of history you're on, then you're probably on the wrong side of history. I believe free speech is what fertilizes intelligence. I believe tech companies should not have your personal data because they don't deserve it. And it's called personal data for a reason. I believe if you don't pay for the product, then they're making you into the product, even though they don't tell you that. I believe new companies pledging not to censor their users isn't good enough. Companies that can't censor their users is the answer. I believe freedom is the gift that makes life worth living. I believe it's time to wake up and take massive action so your grandchildren won't have to be told what freedom was. Your words, actions, attention, and voting with your money matters. It's time to be bold, brave, live in integrity with your heart and alignment with freedom. The time is now, my friend.
I thought that was pretty good. I like JP. He's funny and at the same time kind of gives you what you need.
Well, it is. And a lot of the points that he brings up there are pretty interesting. And then they're also for the sign of the time. So we have this whole metaverse thing. And I was watching recently to where there was Mark Zuckerberg on one of these TV shows, and
he's off the rails.
He's got his new metaverse
he's
thing.
Off the he's rails.
Got his little visor
he's like
on.
Stewie or something on. You know, I don't know. He's weird, man. He's like. There's nobody home.
So it's interesting because they're just having a fun time here on this thing, and they're sitting there in this virtual world, and she's like, "Well, this is pretty amazing. So what else can you do here?" And he pushes a button, and then just. Well, pops breasts, and he goes, well, there's that. That's cool. And it's like, huh, that kind of makes sense for where they're trying to go with all this, because if you're going to live your life in a virtual reality and never really come out of the box and visit with your friends on that, then, yeah, I guess gender really doesn't matter in that type of thing. It would just be a construct if you're just going to be in virtual reality the rest of your life.
It's actually virtual hell. Because that's what it's going to end up with.
So it reminds me, in 2018, there was an article in Russia about how they were going to start outfitting cows with VR headsets so they would produce more milk and not know how terrible their lives were.
Okay, with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I got a couple items here.
Go.
As far as this new strain on the COVID, it's a diversion.
Yep.
It's a diversion to take inflation out of the news. It's a diversion to take the empty shelves out of the news. It's a diversion to keep people from going shopping or going anywhere, to keep the empty shelves out of the news. It's a diversion.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've heard and what I've read, it sounds like the symptoms aren't really all that bad, and most people don't even know they have it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing on it too, Chris, I believe, is what they're trying to do on this is they're trying to make up an excuse for why their vaccination is not working now. Already within the first article that we read, it's only about 50% effective, which we're seeing these vaccinations have waning efficacy, and the actual boosters are hurting more people than what the first two shots did. From the information that I've been seeing recently, we have...
Yeah, I've heard that the Johnson & Johnson's down to 16% after about 6 months.
Johnson & Johnson, from what I've been seeing, is about 3 months going from about 89% efficacy. There was I actually had talked about it at the Board of Supervisors meeting when I went there, but the Johnson & Johnson, they had 660,000 of our military that had gotten the Johnson & Johnson, and with a matter of months, it had fallen all the way down to 3% efficacy.
Oh, it's even lower than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I've got an article right in front of me. As of November 17th, Gibraltar cancels Christmas festivities despite 99% vaccination rate. They're literally going back into lockdown in a place to where they have basically effectively 100% vaccination rate because it doesn't work. I've got another one right here in front of me. That is from November 6, 2021, COVID-19, Ireland's Coe Waterford has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world, and cases there are surging past just about any other place in the world from these people that got the vaccine, and now their immune system is actually accepting the virus in more readily, and it's spreading more readily. But they're just blaming it on the fact that, oh, people are feeling too safe, and they're going out and talking with other people, and they're going about their normal lives. Well, that was kind of the point of a vaccine, wasn't it?
Yeah, so this is just another tying on the gear to remove traditions in our nation, to the war on Christmas, the war on family, the war on travel and freedom. That's what it's all about. It's so dirty and evil. It's hard to even put into words.
I agree.
Yeah.
Hey.
On the other subject I wanted to bring up, I think the use-by date for Mike Mangus is far past. His entire purpose is to protect his kid.
I'm inclined to agree with you, other than get a paycheck.
And since, you know, they ran the ads on the anti-recall, I look up every shop that I have any intention of shopping. If they are a member of the Chamber of Commerce, I will not shop there.
I agree.
I disagree with that.
Small business owners that don't realize or are probably ashamed that the money that they give to the Chamber was used to go after our personal rights.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it, Chris.
So, I like I said, I look them up, and if they're a member, I won't go there.
Perfect. That's what I would do. Absolutely, because you got to vote with the money.
The bad thing about that is a lot of the people don't know that yet.
But they're more and more.
It's
coming
and
out.
We need to expose that. And I don't disagree with you. Don't get me wrong. But some
astonishing was how many businesses are members of the Chamber. I don't shop in Reading at all.
I think that's more of it. It's not that they don't know. I think that there's sides being chosen more and more.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is the good old boys club. Like, for instance, if you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce, you have special abilities to get permits passed and things like that, is what you can infer from some of these things.
That's a benefit, yeah.
Once we're back to the nepotism of McConnellville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't even touched on that yet, but we'll get there someday. Yeah.
Well, exactly. It's just like this deal with the Pacific that's going on. Anything that Mike Warren touches is dirty.
Well,
that is one dirty person.
I got it.
Mike Warren, Ken Murray, Blankenship Mafia.
Hey,
I can't disagree with some
I don't
of that.
Have any proof, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, Chris.
They've
been working at that for a long time. And with that, we need to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I've been lately thinking about my lifetime, all the things I've done, how it's been. And I can't help believing in my own mind. I know I'm gonna hate to see it end. Seen a lot of sunshine, slept out in the rain, spent a night or two all on my own. I've known my lady's pleasures, had my spouses and friends, spent time or two. I have to say it now, it's been a good life all in all. It's really fine to have a chance to hang around.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
I'm not sure what I was thinking this morning on the music.
I'm not sure what the heck you were thinking either.
It's fine, you guys.
It's just,
get some
know.
Tom McDonald in there at least.
Come on now. You got you know, to give Mick credit. He's been doing
it
for...
I like that. You
yeah,
know, yeah,
I mean, but he's been doing it for, what, 70 years or something, you know?
They're going to be like, you know, they're going to look like the Grateful Dead at an album cover pretty soon.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, let's play this spot. I got another spot on the recall, and then we'll move on here. Here we go.
District 2 Supervisor Leonard Modi must go. Serving his third term in office, Mr. Modi has forgotten his duty is to secure the rights of the people against tyrannical and unlawful state mandates. Mandates are not laws. Laws come from the legislature. I'm voting yes on the recall because Modi has forgotten his oath of office. This ad is paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
There you have it. Another spot there.
Yeah.
Okay, so where were we going
I'm sorry. I was reading this headline. The View hosts scold Americans for not appreciating Biden's accomplishments.
Which ones?
It's what's her name?
She had a whole list. She never read anything. I saw that. I saw a clip on that.
Yeah.
What's her name? Joy Bay.
Yeah, thank you. I could.
Bayhard. Yeah. She's a moron. Yeah. She's a freaking moron.
I don't have the list or anything to back that up, but you guys should embrace his accomplishments.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't say if they were good or bad. She didn't give her credit, I guess.
Well, he's a train wreck. okay, so I got a little tweet here from Marjorie Taylor Greene that I think we should talk about a little bit. Waited a week to see if any action should be taken. This is on the 26th of November. 13 Republican traitors voted to pass Biden's agenda before speaking publicly. Nothing happened. Well, not exactly. GOP leadership is responsible from the Washington Examiner for the failure of our leadership, Green said. There's many of us that are very unhappy about the failure to hold Republicans accountable. I'm right there with them. While conservatives like me just constantly take the abuse by the Democrats. Okay, so in her tweet number two, it says, remember, 11 R's voted with D's to kick her off the committee supposedly for social media posts well before she even ran for Congress. She was publicly chastised for that. So, and I think where she's going is that these Republicans, there's a ton of them that sit there talking the talk but ain't walking the walk. And, you know, Kevin McCarthy is kind of at the top of the list, in my opinion. You know, another one here, number three, committees are useless in the minority, and everybody knows it in B.C. Republicans have stopped nothing, which is absolutely true. I've been far more effective without them, she's saying, but Republican traitors have hurt us. Without 19 Republican senators and 13 Republican House members, there would be no infrastructure bill or BB bill being passed right now. So she's right. Mm-hmm. She's absolutely right. This is not just about the Democrats. This is about the Republicans and the traitors that sit there and, you know, smile in your face and all the time they want to, you know, take your place while they stab you in the back.
So here's what they do. This is exactly what they do. They campaign. They say they're going to protect your rights. They say they're going to do something for you. But you know what? If they actually did those things, we wouldn't need them or big government anymore. This is the whole problem with our system right now is these guys run and they rack up these multi-million dollar campaign budgets. They go through and they get their name everywhere. And just because it has an R or a D next to it, people vote for them. And the problem is it's big money on both sides that are contributing to the same candidates on both sides, and they own them, and they won't represent us. You have people that are a diamond in the rough, like Marjorie Taylor over here, that actually gets in and starts trying to do something, and they're literally up against a whole system of corrupt crony money.
Right. Well, it's kind of what happened to Trump, too. I mean, the only thing I really disagreed on Trump with was the vaccines. I mean, you know, the promotion of that, and you still should still get it, which I think is, and that's a big one for me. But at the same time, you know, he was doing so many good things across the board that, you know, he wasn't on their team. But there's a bunch of rhinos that are still embedded in there that are helping the Democrats under the guise of saying they're conservatives.
What frustrated me the most about Trump is the people that he placed in power around him and, for instance, is his picks for the Supreme Court. Like, most of his picks for the Supreme Court were already previous picks that were already set up, and you look at what they've done for us so far, and they're not really doing anything. They're not making the decisions that we, the people, want them to make, certainly the people that voted for Trump. I mean, we see the way that they're ruling or not ruling, rather, and it's quite disturbing. And yet, on the same token, just because the Democrats don't get passed and pushed through on their laws and legal practices sometimes, now they want to turn around and pack the Supreme Court.
Well,
we have no justice.
Again, what it is that you've got these people that are portraying themselves as one thing and they're another. It's like, you know, here's another part of this tweet from Major E. Green. Republican traitors Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and John Katko are openly and diligently working with Pelosi and the Democrats completely against Republican voters and hurting our country. They still all have their committees and still hold their ranking positions with no consequences. This needs to change. There needs to be a complete turnover to conservatives, and you need to not just worry about what they tell you. You need to vet what they've done, their past votes, all of this stuff.
You can't just go buy a D or an R or whatever. You have to do some homework on them and vet them and know what you're voting for.
But we have to start here.
I agree.
In the
locally.
County. You've got to get rid of these entrenched politicians. Oh, yeah. How many times have we heard that the three down here are conservatives? They're not conservatives. They're delusional. If they believe that, they're delusional because they've pretty much gone along with everything as long as the money keeps flowing.
As long as the unions and stuff tell them what to do,
We've got to primary these rhinos. We've got to get them out of office. We've got to make sure that we go after their seats. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. It really does not matter if they're there or not. I'd rather have somebody that hates us and hates our guts for the whole world to see rather than somebody that'll smile at me, pretend that he's on my side, and stab me in the back every chance he gets.
And with that being said, we have to get control of our votes and the voting machines and the process and get that cleaned up as well, because in order for us to move forward, in my opinion, we have to have all that together. If we don't get a hold of the votes, it's not going to make any difference.
Well, and then I see that in the chat room there's a meeting tomorrow, which we know about, for the school boards, and I'm going to pull that up here.
Isn't it at bring a pair of shoes? It's between 4:30 and 5 p.m. I'm trying to remember where it was.
I don't know. Something's wigging out on my computer. It says I'm currently offline, but I'm not. So it's kind of.
I can't remember right now. Maybe somebody can put it in.
It was at the place by the off of Airport Road by the jumper.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was. It was over there by Axner.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But I can't think
of
the name.
So
you
probably
of the street.
Maybe somebody can put it in there or post it.
4:30 and 5. Bring a pair of shoes to drop off, and to show the shoes represent the kids.
And leave them at the doorstep, right?
Yeah,
right.
And it doesn't matter. The shoes don't have to be brand new or anything like that. It's just a pair of shoes. And that's before they lock the doors because, of course, they're not letting the public in on this one. So,
yeah, so we probably, we should get some more information.
I think somebody might be calling in with that information by the Freedom Coalition. That might be, somebody from the chat room.
I've got my, my computer kind of working. It's like it's saying I'm currently offline to refresh, but then I'm actually online. So I'm not sure what's going on.
The people that were heading that up, wasn't that, Krista and, Martin Reed?
Right.
And yeah, they were the ones that were kind of spearheading that for tomorrow at 4:30. And with that, we've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, everyone. Happy birthday week, Mark.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, you're pretty much covering all the details while I was on hold. So it's basically tomorrow at the address of 2985 Innsbruck Drive, and that's the SCOE, S-C-O-E, building near Axner, you're correct. And yeah, the shoes can be secondhand. It's to be a symbolic representation of the parents that are yanking and pulling their kids out of public school. They're fed up with this COVID masking, vaccine testing, all these atrocities to their freedom. So I'm going to probably miss it because Richard and I are taping our podcast, so I don't think I can fly there in time. But, yeah, definitely between 4:30 and 5, and to watch these people snake and slip into it thinking no one's going to notice this, no. Invite only, when does this happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a,
yeah, they didn't meeting, think people so would find out about it. But thank you for calling in and, and making sure we had the information, Lori. I appreciate that.
No worries.
That.
You guys are awesome. Have a good
Thanks,
day.
Lori.
You too. Thanks.
I'm going to go ahead and play this other clip real quick of the recall. These are 30-second spots, and here we go.
I am a father, husband, and local healthcare worker. I worked through the pandemic holding the line to keep our community safe. I went to the Board of Supervisors to advocate for my coworkers threatened with losing their jobs due to the mandates and for those denied the religious exemptions. The supervisors agreed to a special meeting to hear from the healthcare workers, but when they voted postponed and eventually canceled the meeting. They said there was nothing they could do and it would be a waste of their time. When our community needed them the most, they did not hold the line. Vote yes on the recall.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Now, that's, I think that most people on either side of the aisle should be concerned with that, because if you have a concern and you want to speak to them and hold a meeting, at least to examine the evidence, and they give you the yeah, we're going to do it, but they don't do it anyway, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, if they don't have to pay attention to any of their constituents, then why are they there? I mean,
exactly. And you can see that, and Modi is really bad about it. You can tell when people are up there, when they do allow them to speak. He doesn't pay any attention to what they say.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a crap.
Well, okay. So what else? What else have we got here? Wendy Rogers. I need to bring this up because, and I'll try to post this. This is Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers says 186 legislators from 39 states are calling for a 50-state audit, and Arizona looks to decertify. And I think that's important news that's coming.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, and I think that there. So she's got a petition online. If you go to Twitter, Wendy Rogers, you can see it there. And then there's also I'm going to try to this election fraud. 2 months. So this is becoming a big deal. They're not going to let it go away. I've got the there's a petition to certify or decertify the election. I'm going to try to post it on the Facebook page and then get that over there. And but that's important because it's not going away, and we need to get this local voting under control. Because part of that of what's going on here is that even if in a state like California where or let's say our county where we won, okay, there's still some cheating going on. There's still control of the votes. If you look at California, they're cheating across the board with these Dominion voting systems, and we need to get rid of them.
Yeah. So can the people? I mean, how does they determine that? How does Kathy Darling determine the machine? Or who determines how a vote's going to be counted, I guess would be more of the question. Can't the people say, hey, we don't want the machine. We want our votes counted this way? I don't know. I'm just
well,
asking.
You can. When you get control of the county and then the supervisors, then you can start to change things. And
yeah.
That's why it's so important to recall Modi. It's so important to get other people on there that are going to, you know, worry about upholding our rights. They're going to preserve our Constitution, going to preserve our rights.
Can they say, no, we don't want the Dominion voting machine and we're going to do this?
I think so. Absolutely.
I'd like to find out about that, because if we could, that would definitely be something worth looking into.
It would be a good start.
See, the elections officers love the voting machines the way they are, because they're easy. Whether they're manipulating them or not is not even the issue. It's easy. You know?
And they can be compromised so easy. We know that. Back to easy, we know that the chain of command is lacking.
Well, and the audit that they did, it showed that Shasta County, there was some hanky panky going on there as well.
Yeah.
And we've seen it in the past. So I posted those, and I thought that was very important to get that out there. That we need to get this voting thing under control, because if we don't get the voting thing under control, nothing else matters anyway.
Right.
Because they'll just get their guys in. Period.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
I know one story I want to hear about is what's happening with Epstein and all of that. You don't hear anything about it. So.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I've seen
something that big.
I've seen the list of all the people that are named in this.
Disney, Sprint, New York Police Department.
A bunch of people. And it's like, gee, I wonder why it's not being televised. A bunch of powerful people.
Yeah. Well, it's
interesting. That's my name.
Federal trials, you're not allowed to have cameras in there. So that's one of the reasons why it's not being televised. So really, like I was hearing on Timcast and otherwise, we need to have somebody that at least has a paralegal degree.
But you can listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen
you
to them.
And then you can turn around and write down what it is. So like Timcast, for instance, he was wanting and putting a word out to anybody to reach out to him if you're a paralegal so that he can turn around and get you a job and get you in there so you can take notes on the case.
It'd be nice if you could get us. Well, you could get the stenographer's notes, too, mm-hmm. after the trial. I mean, you can get...
not during, right?
Probably not during, but I'm sure after the trial you can get them. And it just goes to begs the question, okay, why is it being so hush-hush on the mainstream media? Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein, it's all being hush-hush. I mean, you don't hear anything.
Mm-mm.
You don't hear anything. Why is that?
An interesting development that I ended up seeing through a lot of this is that a lot of these people, a portion of these people that ended up going to the Pleasure Island or otherwise didn't actually know these girls were underage. That's why they set up the cameras and stuff like this.
Really?
No, actually, this is true. Because what they'll do is they'll turn around and get these guys over there. They'll say, hey, I'm taking you to a place to have a fun time. They'll give you a 16-year-old girl. You're thinking she's 18. They record the whole process, and then they got dirt on you. And so they say, hey, guess what? We've got all the video and all the evidence, and you're going to do exactly what we say. Otherwise, you're going to jail.
I believe that. I think if by the time you get to the island, you probably should know what's going on. If you're not, you're an idiot. But I do understand what you're saying.
The ages, but I go back to why are you on the plane in the first place?
Well, again, what they do, it's like you go to a DC party and you wake up in the back room with a bunch of underage girls underneath your blankets and you don't even remember what happened because they gave you a Mickey Finn. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
so that I believe.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
So I got a fun one for you. I normally don't have a lot of fun ones, but this one will make you definitely be like, what the hell? So this is a company called Byte Labs. And what it is... Byte Labs. Okay. Eat celebrity meat. So... Process. We start with top quality ingredients and time-honored recipes from the creation of fine-cured meats. We mix celebrity and animal meats grown in-house through a proprietary culture.
What's a
celebrity meat?
Oh, so they take a biopsy of your favorite celebrity, and then they grow their meat and then mix it in with artisan salamis.
They grow their meat?
Yes.
Are you sure it's me?
It's crazy. If you read the site, it's crazy.
Oh, it's eco-friendly, though.
Yeah.
So we start with biopsies microblast cells, and we grow our healthy, rich meats in Byte Labs' own bioreactors. Our process yields high-quality, luxury protein in a sustainable manner that eliminates
I can think of a few celebrities I'd like to take a bite out of.
That's sick.
Not that way.
Didn't they make a movie kind of like that?
Soylent Green is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, now that I just kind of segued just a little bit from that, it's not
you
quite as bad.
Segue from that.
Is that what they call a segue?
I can segue from that.
Let's go.
So scientists are attempting to grow COVID vaccine-filled spinach, lettuce, and edible plants to replace COVID injections.
I've heard this before.
I've heard this.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Researchers of University of California were awarded a $500,000 grant from the National Science Foundation developing technology that infuses experimental mRNA COVID-19 vaccines into spinach, lettuce, and other edible plants.
Well, I think I'm going to expand the garden this year.
In other news on the economic front,
where does it stop if that's true? It's not going to matter.
Well, I mean, basically, that's the world that we're heading into. I mean, there's a reason why Bill Gates just bought a bunch of farmland and otherwise. I mean, they've been talking about eliminating
meat. Yeah, he's in control of a lot of that. Imagine that.
Well, and so let's go through to the next one. We have from Temcast, General Mills to raise prices by 20% in January, and also Dollar Tree to raise prices for the first time in their 35 years of operation. So it is going to go from $1 to $1.25 to their stores nationwide. And then we also have another one here from Biden to increase U.S. oil lease fees 50% while accusing big oil of anti-competitive activities. The Biden-Harris administration issued a report on Friday to increase the price of oil leasing fees on federal lands in the United States by 50%, even while accusing oil companies of artificially increasing the prices through illegal and anti-competitive actions. Basically what it is, it's going to cause an increase of 6.5%. over to oil, which if it goes 6.5% to them, that's going to be 13% to you at the pump, at least.
At least.
Well, in another headline, we've got California looters going crazy in San Francisco, and in the meantime,
in L.A., yeah,
L.A., San Francisco, all over, wherever, and of course,
grabbing or whatever you want to call it.
Newsom's bold response is that we can't allow this to continue. Period. Full stop. While he heads for Mexico on vacation.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about this whole Build Back Better bill with the EV situation.
It's Build Broke Back Better, I think is what it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically, so you have $12,500
that crap ain't right, dude.
That they want to do for tax credits. But here's the interesting thing on this. This subsidizing will cut out after you have 200,000 vehicles that get the credit for it. So you already have Tesla that's not eligible for it. So you have these companies like Chevy, which a lot of them are not produced here in the United States. There are some of the benefits that are going towards if the battery was made in the United States. But the big winners on this are going to be Chinese manufactured products, such as Hummers and otherwise, since China ended up purchasing the rights for Hummer. So we're actually seeing more of our wealth through this to the tune of each vehicle purchased up to $12,500 that would end up going to our enemies. And at this point, don't make any mistake. Do any of us think China has our best interest at heart?
Sure they do.
Of course they do.
Ask Joe Biden and Hunter.
Just say Xiao Jinping five times in a row fast.
And so to be fair, the full amount wouldn't be ending up going over there because they wouldn't be able to get the full $12,500, but about $7,500 of those for qualified cars. So you'd have Ford that would be a winner of this. You have Chevy that would be a winner of this. You have Hummer that would be a winner of this. But most of the vehicles here in the United States, like right here, why is my Tesla not eligible for the tax credit? Tesla is by far the largest EV maker in the U.S. today. However, those who purchase an EV from automaker will not be eligible to claim the car on their taxes. That's because the current law for credits phases them out after a particular automaker sells over 200,000 qualifying vehicles. In Tesla's case, it sold the last qualifying vehicle back in 2019, leaving no additional tax credits to take advantage of.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I just read a headline I just now saw. L.A. firefighter placed on leave for wiping his butt with a vaccine mandate letter.
I hope he turned it back in.
Hey, speaking of that, did you guys hear? I read somewhere that Joe Biden pooped his pants.
Oh yeah, that was in front of the Pope. He was in the poopy pope pants, and
I just heard that.
He also let off some steam in the form of flagellants prior to that.
Yeah.
Well, that was prior to his colonoscopy. So I think they were probably going in there and checking up there to make sure that
this program has just taken a definite turn for the worst. it's turning dark right now, and I think we need to maybe change the subject.
So with migrant caravan en route to Texas, border was not a focus in Biden talks with Mexican leader. So the latest caravan was not a topic of priority.
No, it's the people coming from Africa with the variant that you have to worry about. All the people coming across the border down from Mexico, they're all good.
So he talked with the Mexican leader. I wonder, I'd like to get a transcript of that. Having a hair.
Well, and one of the last ones I want to get to, we've got about 1 minute on this.
Well, we're running out of time, so hurry up.
I just said that. So the World Economic Forum, these guys with Davos, Great Reset, and all the rest of this, they released something recently that everyone should have on their mind. So as of October 20th, 2021, they're now predicting and talking about protecting critical infrastructure from a cyber pandemic. So they're talking about literally having all the power.
Yeah, I've heard this, and Candace Owen mentioned this last week, and I was going to look into it more, that they're talking about shutting down everything on the Internet to stop the virus from getting on the Internet. And so they're promoting this as a shutdown on a blackout, which we've heard about, and it's actually in some of the documentation from the World Health Organization, I believe it is, or the International Monetary Fund. One of those idiots, maybe it's Davos, I don't know, but this could really happen, and you might want to have some backup communications and power at some point.
Yeah. Yep. And with that, we're at the top of the hour, guys.
All right.
Another showdown.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
In my hands.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.